You have your Bibles tonight. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. I won't keep you long tonight. I just want to stimulate you a little bit because of some things that happened on Sunday as well. How many know Sunday was a great move of God? How many were touched with the Holy Spirit on Sunday? And there's a reason and a purpose for that. I don't know what's been happening to you, but I've just been enjoying the presence of the Lord, enjoying the presence of God, and expecting miracles every day. As I was preparing today's message, we met as intercessors, and my wife, I hadn't talked to her all day, and she talked about expectation, and so it was kind of confirmation that I'm hearing from God. How many know a woman of God like Terry, if she's hearing from the Lord and I'm hearing the same thing, I'm doing pretty well. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. The title of the message tonight is Expect a Miracle. Matthew 4, 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, 10 cities, by the way, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. How many know we need to live in expectation today? We just need to live in expectation of what God wants to do. Because God's the same God as he was here. Everywhere Jesus went, you'll see three things that he did. Number one, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Not enough gospel of the kingdom being preached. We're pointing fingers at people all they're doing wrong instead of preaching the gospel to them so they stop doing wrong and do right. What's the good news of the kingdom? Man is in sin, going to die and go to hell. Jesus came, died for our sins so that we don't have to. He rose from the dead. He lives forever. He gave us the Holy Ghost. If we'll preach the gospel of the kingdom, we'll see some things happen. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Matter of fact, the first words I read in the Gospels is, the kingdom of God has come near you, Jesus said. Secondly, he taught in their synagogues. I'm sorry. Secondly, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. And thirdly, he healed all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. I wonder what we would do if ambulances would start bringing people here instead of Woodlawn. I wonder what we'd do if people that were sick would come here instead of going to Pulaski Hospital. I wonder what we'd do if people would come here instead of going to Kosciuszko. Stopping at the church and saying, hey, somebody's sick and you pray for them. We'd have to hire somebody to take care of insurance, wouldn't we? The same Jesus that healed then is alive and well today. This isn't history we're talking about. This is something that's going on right now. A miracle is an event occurring in the natural world, observed by the senses, produced by divine power, without any adequate human or natural cause, the purpose of which is to reveal the will of God and to do good to man. We lay hands on somebody and they receive a healing. It's supernatural. It's otherworldly. It's heaven come down to earth. Miracle, dunamis, miraculous power, ability, abundance, and meaning. Miracle, it means miracle, power, strength, mighty, wonderful work of God. Expectancy is the seedbed of revival. Expectancy is the seedbed for revival. If we don't believe it will happen, it's not going to happen. And we've got to get the whole gambit involved. People expectant to see God. I'm looking for the day when they come here instead of go to the hospital. I'm looking for that day. As we have been saying this past 8 months of study in Acts, the thing that sets us apart from every other religion or any church is the fact that we believe and will see healings and miracles take place. We're teaching. We're preaching. Now we need to believe the same thing about healing. The fact that we have not seen a lot of healing doesn't make it any less true. We need to move our faith in the direction of results. We need to live in expectancy that God is going to do far above what we could ask or hope for, just like the scripture says. It means we must partake in praying for every meeting and come with expectancy to see the power of God manifest. No wasted time. We come together. Music and messages will not get the job done. Just makes more people more comfortable here and less likely to come from there. Come on, someone. The kingdom of God is not, will not, and cannot be a kingdom of catchy quotes and good music. With zero results comes a credibility problem. We need to be living what we preach. You know, like I said, when you grab your keys and go to Kroger, live in expectancy. Who can I pray for? What can I see happen? Maybe just drop a word to somebody. Just encourage them. And leave the results up to the Lord. Watch what He'll do. Christ never had that problem. People were amazed because He moved freely in the Spirit. I submit to you that the same kind of freedom is available to us. When Jesus went, He just went like Jesus. He didn't try to do anything. He just kind of hung out. For Pete's sakes, He couldn't go from one place to another. He was on His way to Jericho, came by a funeral in the city of Nain, in the village of Nain, and what happened? The dead rose. I love that story because He didn't take the advantage of it. He didn't preach. He didn't stay around. He didn't say, okay, sit everybody down, I'll feed them. He didn't do any other miracle. He just rose somebody from the dead because He had compassion on the mother. That's Jesus just being Jesus. He never had the problem that we're facing now as a credibility problem, because we've talked a lot about miracles. We don't see a lot of it. In fact, we absolutely must latch on to His way of thinking and acting if what is laid before us is to be completed. In the first place, we live in a generation that 1 in 5 of us are not here tonight because the enemy has murdered us. Think about that. Abortion has killed 1 out of 5. Don't even exist. You don't think this is an all-out warfare? You don't think the enemy is trying to take a generation out? Secondly, our ranks have been weakened by false teachings as thousands have been led astray by false religion. Miracles stop. Miracles no longer happen. Jesus is not concerned with sick bodies. He just wants people to get saved. You just have to suffer through. I've got about 3 or 4 people sitting here tonight that would argue with that. How many dead people do we have sitting here that were supposed to be dead by now? Look at it. Look around. Supposed to be dead by now. You're one of them. Thirdly, add into this mix the number of people expecting the miraculous without a change in lifestyle. One of the things we don't do, we can't separate miracles from lifestyle. Jesus said a couple times, and we'll talk about it here in a little bit, He said to people, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen to you, He said. But even as more people appear to be turning away from organized religion, a new study just recently finds that the number of Americans who definitely believe in religious miracles increased 22% in the past 2 decades. 55% now certain of this supernatural happening. They believe that God can do miracles. Overall, some 4 in 5 Americans believe miracles definitely or probably occur. They're just looking at the wrong place, but they believe in miracles. Researcher Robert Martin of Pennsylvania State University reported at a recent meeting in the American Sociological Association in Denver, he said 4 in 5 Americans believe that miracles can happen. Pew Research Center report found 79% of Americans, including 78% ages 18 to 29, believe in miracles. We think we're trying to convince them of something. They just need to see it. They already believe it's going to happen. In a recent national study of youth and religion, 91% of youth said they definitely or maybe believe in the possibility of divine miracles from God. Penn State's Martin analyzed general social survey data from 1991 until now. He found the belief in miracles is growing in recent years. Nearly 73% of American adults in 1991 grew to 78% today. So 91% of young people and 78% of adults, how many know we just need to do it? We need to expect miracles. That's the God that we serve, the God of miracles. Where does the faith for miracles in the general population meet the guarantee for miracles with the church? We've got to go out. We've been asking them to come in. They're not coming in. What we got to do? Go out. We have been content to live average lives, the truth is. No one has ever accomplished anything of value by being average. Average is the enemy of greatness. Average is the lid on the coffin of dead dreams. You've heard me say it before, but you know, when I was in sales, one of the things that you don't do when you're getting interviewed for sales is ask what the average salesman makes. You're probably not going to get the job. They're not want to hire an average person. They want to hire somebody that's going to sell their product. Average is only attracted to those that have no dreams and visions. We need to get above the average. Average is the great common denominator that cripples generations. Absolutely cripples generations. We just keep the status quo. How many know I'm tired of the status quo? Average can be had by anyone for any price. To live above the average, an exemplary life is the promise that Scripture give us. We will do greater things than Jesus Christ. Think about that. He said it himself. And I'm quoting here. I'm not embellishing like the press does, media. Jesus said, greater works than I do, ye shall do also. The works that I do, you shall do also, he said, and greater works will you do. Whatever we ask, we will have. And I quote again, whatsoever ye ask in my name, ye shall receive. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a ye. Whatsoever ye ask. It's you and I, see. Signs shall follow us. Signs and wonders shall follow those who believe. Revival will occur in our generation. What we are being asked to do by heaven, what we are equipped to do by heaven, what we are destined to do by heaven is greatness. I don't know about you, but I don't want to sit around in eternity talking to everybody else that experienced it. I don't believe we will. Turn to Luke chapter 15, or Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke 5:17. Probably up on your screen because the wonderful Diana is making that happen right now. Ta-da! Luke 5:17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Verse 23, which is easier to say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Then he called for the choir and they sang and they all went home. Immediately, He rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, when are we going to have lunch? Now, what did they say? We have seen strange things today. It would absolutely ruin our reputation for that kind of word to get out. We'd actually be seen as a miracle center instead of just a building along the highway. And people would come because miracles happen. Hey, you're sick. Hey, I heard miracles happen over at that old John Deere building over there. Go over there. There's somebody there all the time and they're praying and people get healed. And this passage always excites me because the Pharisees, the Sadducees from everywhere, it says, now it happened, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. These were Pharisees and teachers, and the power was there to heal them. I don't know if you ever caught that before. The power was there to heal the Pharisees and the teachers. And they didn't receive it. Wonder if anybody was sick. They didn't receive it. But these guys, whoever they were, they're not named, heard about Jesus being there and said, let's take our friend and get him healed. The power of the Lord was there to heal them, but the people who came understood the power was available and they were going to access that power. Man, when the lost start knocking on your door, you know you're doing something right. These men came from the outside to where the power was. Heavenly knowledge met earthly pursuit. The man on the bed was there, but we do not know what he was thinking. He was probably thinking, where are you guys taking me? But they had heard that Jesus was in the area and they came. Four men took the initiative to move toward a miracle. And I believe there are four attributes, I believe the four men and the characteristics that they were necessary for the miracles to take place. May I share them with you? Number one, they were informed. How are people going to be informed if we don't tell them? Paul says that. He says, how are they going to hear if they don't have a preacher? Faith comes by hearing. These guys heard somewhere where Jesus was at the house and they wanted to get there. And they knew what he had done. His fame went throughout the land, we read there at the beginning in Matthew. Acts 14:9 says, this man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. They had faith, these guys, just like this guy that heard Paul. They heard and they had faith. But first they got to hear. Man, you hear these guys that are teaching against it. They're not ashamed. God doesn't heal today. Don't go there. God doesn't heal. They'll say it loud and clear and people believe them and they don't come. All they want over there is your money. Don't go over there. Come on, somebody. The enemy has people everywhere that's unafraid of preaching. We should be unafraid of the Word of God and tell people, God heals. God saves. God delivers. God forgives. He'll take your sin. He'll take your sickness. Immediately. When? Immediately. No, when? Sunday morning, 9:30. No, immediately. You're standing there in the grocery aisle. Don't tell somebody they got to... They've been looking for an answer and you're talking to them and you say, you should come to church on Sunday. This is Tuesday afternoon. I got pain right now. You mean I need to wait till Sunday? I set an appointment? With who? Where? Who I talk to when I get there at 9:30? Oh, you just come and sit and then we might have an altar call and you go up and get prayed for. Come on, someone. How'd you feel if somebody told you that you were in pain? You call and say, I'm in severe pain, doctor. Can you see me? 2 weeks from now on Wednesday afternoon. And you get there and all they do is irritate you. You hear what I'm saying? We need to tell people God heals now. And then just step out in faith. Expect a miracle. Take yourself out of the picture. Don't worry about the results. God will take care of the results. You just be obedient. Come on, someone. We need to look at ourselves as vessels of God. I go out and water my garden. You know, it's you go out and stick the hose. Now I take the hose and I turn the thing on. When I push that thing, I expect the hose doesn't say, I can't do it. The hose doesn't say, I'll do it later. Get some other hose. We're just vessels of God. God squeezes us and out comes miracles. Come on, someone. It's all up to God. We just need to lift our faith. We need to expect. We need to live in the realm of expectation. James says it. He says, you have faith, I have works. Not this James, the James in the Bible. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Not only they were informed, number two, they were desperate. People are desperate to hear the word of the Lord. Even though they don't admit it, they're desperate to see something happen. In every case, when people were healed, they were desperate. They knew that the only source for their healing comes from Jesus Christ. The woman with the issue of blood, she was desperate and pushed through the crowds at the risk of her own life. Blind Bartimaeus screamed when Jesus came by. Jesus, Son of David! Shut up. Jesus, Son of David! He screamed. He was desperate. The lepers were desperate when they came to God. I submit to you that we live in a desperate society. I mean, they want to believe. I took my grandson to Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest, is that the name of it? The Galaxy something. And it's the second in the series. And Kurt Russell was God. A God. And he said, I got lonely, so I started creating people. And it was some of the most demonic stuff that happened in that movie. I said, I had to talk to both of my grandchildren when we left. I said, that's not the way it is. But Hollywood is desperate. People are desperate to fill in the blanks because nobody's telling them the truth. So they're coming up with the stuff themselves. They're looking at Greek mythology. They're looking at false gods. They're looking at, because they're, you know, this generation that we're trying to reach is a Harry Potter generation. They believe in the miracles. They believe miracles take place, but they don't believe God has much to do with that. Not the God that we serve. People are desperate. All we got to do is fill in the blanks. And you say, well, how can God use you? Just be available. And the old thing, when I first got saved, my first preacher, pastor, he used to say, God's not looking for ability, just availability. He would say that every service. I'd say, okay, I got it. You don't need it. Just write it down somewhere. God's not looking for ability, but availability. That's one of the things that drove us, Terry and I, really led us to where we are today, because that thing was seeded in us. And I want to seed that in you. And I want to stir that up within us, because we've had years of waiting. I don't know about you, I'm tired of waiting. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Not only they were desperate, they were determined. They were in unity as to the plan of action. Unity must take place for power to be sustained. Do you hear me? Unity must take place. We as a church need to come to a place of unity to say we are not going to settle for mediocre or average. We're not going to settle for just being a church on a corner. We're going to shake something up. We're going to cause some trouble. We're going to stir up the enemy. We're going to go after him. We're going after souls. We're going to cast a net. We're going to go fishing. We're going to do these things. Why? Because number one, it's a command of God. And number two, to see the results, you talk about being young again. When you see souls change before your eyes, people change before your eyes, people healed before your eyes. The destination that we're looking for must be agreed upon by all of us. We're seeing Tom Scarella in a couple of weeks, and I encourage you to get on his YouTube channel. Just Google Tom Scarella and look at some of the things that have been happening on the street with him. We're going to see on Sunday, James and Amy, some of the things, miracles that happened. People baptized in the Holy Ghost, delivered, healed, saved. Those things need to happen in the streets of Rochester and Fulton County. Strength to carry the needy to the Lord. Put your needs aside for the needs of others. Those four guys had no qualms about carrying this guy to the Lord, and none of them said, hey, by the way, while you're healing him, I got a little crick in my shoulder. Come on, somebody. We need to care again and have compassion again. Not only that, but they were motivated. They had a love for the one who was afflicted. Relationship will motivate you. Circumstances will motivate you. Have compassion on those that are hurting and in pain. Faith will motivate you and compassion will motivate you. And that doesn't negate our job to preach the gospel and call people to account for their sin. If we're just going to run a three-ring circus and see people healed, they'll just go and get sick again. I told this story, a very sad one. I almost cry every time. It was Tom Scarrello, as a matter of fact, was in our church at Philadelphia, and a young girl who was deaf, 14 years old, deaf. She had hearing aids, and she spoke with a very thick lisp. You know what I'm talking about? She could speak, but she spoke as a deaf person would. She couldn't hear well enough to make enunciate. And Tom preached, and she came up, and he laid hands on her and took her hearing aids out, and she heard perfectly, spoke perfectly. Her friend stood behind her and talked with her. Her friend was with her, 14, 15 years old too. And she was healed miraculously. I mean, we were all crying and jumping and weeping and all kinds of stuff. Well, her father had brought her, and both of them got saved, by the way. The young girls received Christ right there. I mean, who wouldn't? I couldn't hear, now I hear. Get me saved. I'm saved. And dad took her home to mom, and mom was an atheist. Mom said, those people are just trying to manipulate you. They lied to you. You're not healed. Put those hearing aids back in. I paid good money for those hearing aids. Hearing aids back in her ears, she couldn't hear anymore. Never allowed to come back to the church. Healed completely. I mean, how many know her mother should have been jumping for joy? Those people don't know what they're talking about. Try and manipulate you. You're not healed. Put those hearing aids back in your ears. We need to tell people about what they face. Sin kills. Sin doesn't make things inconvenient. Sin kills. Say it with me. Sin kills. So we need to go after the sin. Not the sinner, but we need to go after the sin and tell people they need to get away from it. Turn with me to John 5. John chapter 5. John 5, 12. Then they ask him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Jesus wasn't trying to make a friend here. Do you think for a moment that the last 20 years, remember 20 years ago when they started talking about PC, politically correct? About 20, 25 years ago. How many remember that? Everything, you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't tell jokes, you can't tell people. Why do you think that was? Why do you think now that it's been ingrained in us, all of us know we're not supposed to say certain things at certain times? It was the enemy that planted that seed in our society 20, 25 years ago. Now it's become truth. It's not truth. I'm not going to call sin righteousness or righteousness sin. I'm not going to do it. God said, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Didn't he? But that's the kind of society we live in. We can't tell somebody that they're sinning. It's called a hate crime. Oh, you hurt my feelings. Oh, I feel bad. I'm offended. So, we need to tell people the truth. Jesus wasn't trying to make a friend. He touched this guy at the pool of Siloam, and he was raised. And then later on he saw him and he said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Don't sin. And I don't know if that was a synopsis, if Jesus talked to him a little bit before and after that. Maybe it was just a general thing that we hear. It wasn't a word-for-word deal. But Jesus made sure that that man knew that he was in the condition that he was in, not because of sickness, but because of sin. And when we talk to people, we need to tell them that they need to get their heart right. Yeah, pray for them and see them healed. Now you need to get your heart right. You need to get saved, or a worse thing will come upon you. John 8:11, when Jesus said to the harlot that was, or the adulteress, he says, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. We need, my friends, to preach righteousness and purity. We need to speak of repentance and living a godly, separate life. The two are not opposite. We don't want to hide the truth so people get healed. We want to bathe the healing in truth. Bathe the truth in healing. They're inseparable, I submit to you. They're inseparable. Truth and healing go hand in hand. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and he healed. Healing is for, and the miracles are for today. We need to live in expectancy once again. If healing is for today, and it is, the preaching of the word is all the more for this day. We are commanded to live in this world, but not to be a part of the world. We're not of the world, we're in it, but we're not of it, and we need to express the truth. People will levitate to that or gravitate to that. They'll come up to that. They'll come up to the place where we expound upon the word. If we say they can be healed, they'll come. If we say things like, you might be healed, why don't you come to church and find out? If you don't like it, you don't have to come back. Just come. We need to stop that mamby-pamby average, oh, please come and give us a shot. No, Jesus is the way. You can be healed and you can be delivered and you can get to heaven. Well, now what do you want to do? And give them a chance to say yes or no. They don't even know what they're saying yes to with some of the problem that's being preached today. We fooled people into believing if they come to church three times a year, it's going to be okay. They're going to get to heaven. Friends, when people come by us, they must hear of repentance, forgiveness, and the spiritual life. Healings bring great feelings, but can be lost in the climate of sin that continues unabated in somebody's life. We've all seen it happen. We've seen people get healed, and they lose their healing, and they wonder why. Well, you're not living for God. You're sick because you're not living for God. You need to live for God. This is not because of some tsetse fly in Africa. This is because you're not right with the Lord and you need to get your heart right. And just like I laid hands on you and you're healed, I'll lay hands on you, you can be saved. Say this prayer with me. I'll introduce you to God. This upcoming series of meetings, I'm asking you to pray. We'll be here next Wednesday, the following Wednesday. On the 21st, we will not be here that night because Tom will be coming Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's Thursday at 7, Friday at 7, Saturday we're going to be in the parade. Tom is going to go with us with a team. We're going to march the parade route and witness and see people saved and healed, delivered. Come on, someone. They might think it's a Friday night or Saturday morning parade, but it's going to be a Saturday morning revival. We're going to see some things happen, and then we'll be here Saturday night at 7, Sunday morning regular service, and Sunday night at 7. So I'm asking you to start to invite people, have them come. Don't wait for them to come to get healed. Go ahead and pray for them, but bring them so that we can saturate this area so that people get equipped to go out. And we'll see God move in a powerful way. Amen. Expectation is what God wants us to. We need to expect God to do powerful things through little old me. Amen? And God will use you just like the water hose. He'll squeeze you and out comes the glory. God, use me. God, make me available. God, make me powerful in your hands. That's what he's... This is the only reason we're here, breathing his air. Amen?